Good morning, all. Thank you, Bev. And it's great to be here. It's a beautiful day out there. Thank you, God, for this beautiful fall weather. I hope we remember the Lord when the snow blizzards hit and we don't curse out God and that. But as I'm just checking that, wasting time here, Susan, to make sure the microphone sound is good, because she was walking me through the drill on making sure I didn't do things like, wow, wasn't that a beautiful song? And oh, somebody dropped and that before I begin. Yes, today is World Food Day, or last Thursday was World Food Day. And some of us, when we reflect back on that from my time at the food bank and now my time at the Ottawa Mission, sometimes think it's a good time to reflect on World Hunger Day, that there's so much hunger out in the community. But I'm going to break slightly from where I was going, because on my way in, I was talking to Barry, and he said, I always really appreciate it more when we hear a real experience. It's sort of what you take away. So I wanted to share with you an experience that happened just this past Monday. Was the Ottawa Mission's annual Thanksgiving Monday dinner. And you may have heard in the news it was another record, and that's not necessarily a good thing. We sent a note off to the mayor's office and the city staff reminding them it's great that we were able to serve 18,271 meals at the Mission and through our food truck program, but it's a sign of the incidence of hunger in the nation's capital that we had to do so. And we are proud to do so. I'm proud to see the way this community started. But a part that many people missed, including the city councilors, the deputy chief, police chief, and some of the celebrities who are always there at 11 a.m. for the opening, was that our meal actually started at 11:20 that day. And the reason we started at 11:20 is Frontline came to grab me just before I was going to do the opening remarks, and we do the opening prayer and blessing. And somebody had was passed out in the washroom, and attempts by the front line to revive the individual. The main floor washroom, if you've ever come in our front doors, it's just off to the right. The dining hall's in through the doors to your left. And he wasn't coming back to life. And then to make matters more complicated, Frontline had applied 6 shots of naloxone. So that right away sort of twigged me that something might be different than it's a drug overdose. And Ashley, our frontline manager, and I spoke about that while we waited for the paramedics to arrive, which is our standard protocol and an unfortunate part of what we do now at shelters like the Ottawa Mission and the others in town. And then Ashley informed me it was, I'll call him Jay, and that one struck us all, because on the washroom floor was Jay, who's a gentleman who went through our Lifehouse Addictions program 6 years ago. And Jay is actually a Mohawk elder, has become a Mohawk elder. He's a stellar member of their community. He works and meets with the people at our addictions program off at Lifehouse down on Bronson Avenue, and has become a big part of our family at the Ottawa Mission. That he does on Wednesday mornings, we have a smudging ceremony we do as part of our effort to be more receptive and open to the Indigenous community, to make the Mission a place of welcome, a faith-based Christian organization, a welcome for all. And he leads the procession we have that goes up onto Parliament Hill on the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. And 6 years into sobriety, he had become a huge part of being substance-free, a huge part of our family. And the first thing that happens, and my heart goes out, is because of his past, the stigma that arises with it, and the thought in all of our minds is, poor Jay, he must have relapsed, he must have overdosed, because often when people go back for the first time in years, it hits them so hard if they pick up at the level they were at. And gradually the word came back to us over the next few hours from the paramedics and from OPS that they had found no substances on him, no kit, no anything like that. Gradually, as they were running other tests, he unfortunately didn't make it. They couldn't revive him. But from everything they saw, and we're waiting for the autopsy, it wasn't an overdose. He had just had a major heart attack. He's elderly now, and I learned from the people in the that we have a rooming house we run in the downtown area, where he's been an elder to those people, the non-Indigenous, other seven members of the eight that live there. He's been a leader amongst them. He's hard on them. They're all new in recovery, and he's often hard on them in their recovery journey, we learned. But he's been fasting sometimes 7 days at a time, and we started to put it together, and maybe that was what led to his heart attack. But my heart went out to him for the stigma. You know, I haven't, 17 and a half years ago, I took my last drink. It was running me into the ground. And in the first few years, I used to worry, boy, if I get into a car accident or something unusual happens, they're going to say, oh, that guy went off the wagon again, didn't he? And that. So I just wanted to share that with you as an example of what we go through, the ups and downs, and that somebody who had become a part of our family just unfortunately passed on. But the part that was hard was right away on the front line, and others, we just, the assumption with OPS when they arrived that, oh, so he went through your addictions program, I guess he relapsed. And no, we're likely going to hear that that wasn't it at all. But okay, so I did want to share that experience. So Barry will stay awake in the back, and we'll... yes, it is. Last Thursday, October 16th, was World Food Day, and coincidentally timing right after our Thanksgiving meal and that. And I just, what does that mean? I was surprised to learn that they've been celebrating World Food Day for 80 years. It's been a tradition. I, being a food banker and now at the Mission, hadn't realized it had gone on that long. This year's theme is Hand in Hand for Better Food and a Better Future, and the theme is based on global solidarity and building a more sustainable and equitable food system. And certainly there's been a lot of talk about how we do that. I think at the end of the day, it'd be great if just more and more we could see, as we see at the, I'm going to talk a bit about the local and national level, those who have share more with those who have not. I think it boils down to that, and that's what makes this city, this world go around when we focus on that. So how are we doing? Well, I learned in digging up stats, as anyone could, that nearly 1 in 10 people deal with being hungry on a regular basis, in particular in Asia, Africa, and parts of South America. That 1 in 4 people in the world are reported to regularly deal with moderate to severe food insecurity. And that 3 billion people, that's of our population of over 8 billion, 3 billion people can't afford the regular healthy diet that they would choose to have if they could afford to. And that one surprised me. I thought it'd be higher, honestly. When we look at the population of Ottawa, stretched from west, Barrhaven and beyond, to West Carleton, to the east, beyond Orleans and up to the river and down past the south, we know our population is about 1 million people. So when I pictured each one of those, I always remind people when they look at numbers 18,271, there's a face that goes with each one of those people. And the one that struck me, if our population is about 1 million people, some of which we see, some of which we don't, many of which we don't, that 3 million children per year die of malnutrition or illnesses caused by malnutrition. Every year, 3 million children pass on, and that just is such a shame. Such a shame and to see. And that's the world level. So how are we doing back home? Well, here in Canada, we've seen that homelessness has increased by 20% since 2018. In 2017, the federal government announced a bold, big national housing strategy. All of us in the sector were looking forward to those builds coming, and a fraction of them have come, and we haven't seen the other levels of government. I keep seeing the city of Ottawa, and I do commend the mayor on that one and the city's housing staff, scrambling to do things on a local level, like opening the two welcoming centers for newcomers that really alleviated the number of newcomers that were coming in our door and allowed them to get the specialized services they require and that. But I just see, again, a frustration. I've told this to my board on the lack of things that are happening sometimes at the federal and provincial level other than words because we all suffer, because those are the two big levels, the drivers. If we're going to build affordable homes, it's probably going to start at a higher level. And when we build affordable homes, those who can be housed will move out of the shelter system, off the streets. In fact, in Ontario alone, we've seen 80,000 people in the last count are now reported as being homeless. That's a shocking number. That's a 25% increase since where we were at 4 years ago. In 2020, you may remember, the city of Ottawa released its declaration of the state of homelessness was in a state of emergency in the city. We're going to address that. It's 5 years later. Our last PIT count in 2024 informed us, and that's where they actually get out in the streets and work, the city staff and volunteers and staff from our shelter, and speak to people, make sure they're not counting twice. We're now at 3,000 people who have identified as being homeless in this city. 500 of them are living outside or living in encampments. They're not even in shelters and that. So that was a shocking number. And by the city's own report, that if we don't address this and begin to pour money into building homes, shelter services, and transitional housing, that number will increase by over 58% in the next decade. And that's the city's numbers. Just not something that we expect to see in the nation's capital. The Ottawa Food Bank, as you probably saw in their report last year, said that now 1 in 4 families are suffering from food insecurity, compared to 1 in 7 families just 4 years ago. So we can keep going on about stats and numbers, but I guess the key is, are we making a difference, and what can we do to make a difference? I like to think of, I remember quoting back to the board of the Ottawa Mission when they were recruiting for that position, of which Anthony was part of that search committee. I read them the scripture that we've all heard so many times, and we hear it this time of year, and we've seen highlighted already, was from Matthew 25, 35 to 40, where Jesus said to his disciples, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And the righteous answered, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see a stranger? We see you a stranger, or need clothes and clothe you? When were you sick or in prison? And we came to visit you." And we know the king replies in his illustration that, I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. And that's what usually drives us all, isn't it? That willingness, that wanting, that desire, that's what makes places like the Ottawa Food Bank, the Ottawa Mission, the Shepherds of Good Hope, Cornerstone, the Salvation Army, and so many other programs work, is our desire to do it for the least of these, our brothers and sisters, to make a difference, the haves helping those who are without. And the examples I have are here at Parkdale, from the time I came here, is just being amazed at the impact of the In From the Cold program. So many of the people who go to the mission being those who come in the doors for In From the Cold. The gratitude, a friend of mine who came to volunteer with me several years ago when we used to do setup, and she wanted to come back after doing setup for a few times to see the actual dinner. And when she came back and saw the dinner and spoke to one of the families, a family of four sitting down, she said, "I hadn't realized, you realize that family of four, this is their night out? And the children, who were 6 and 8, don't realize that they're not going out to a fancy restaurant. The children are going out to dinner on a Saturday night with mom and dad." And I saw the impact of that program. So congratulations to Parkdale, the In From the Cold program, and the difference that makes for this sector, for so many people I know who don't have to go downtown to the Ottawa Mission who are in this area. And there are poor pockets, as you know, in this area. In James, he writes that, "Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" So again, congratulations to Parkdale. And you, as individuals and supporters of so many causes, because generally the statistics show so many churches, Christian faith-based churches, do so much for their respective communities and those who are in poverty, especially before there were food banks in the early years of the 1900s. That's how the Ottawa Mission was founded in 1906 by a group of Christian business people who were aware that those train tracks that run through where the Westin and the conference center are now are where the so-called hobos used to gather and starve and freeze on the winter nights. So they wanted to provide a service, a shelter, and the Ottawa Mission was founded in 1906. So we often remind our counselor, who doesn't like the congregation of shelters in the downtown core, well, we were here before you were born, so sorry. And we're making a difference there too. We have those who know of our work. We served 1.2 million meals last year. Shocking number, but that's the food trucks, which was initially a pandemic response. When the pandemic ended, our donors had paid for the trucks. We have to come up with the resources to provide the food and to the communities, but that truck stops at 41 communities. And given inflation, the cost of groceries, and the fact that that food truck is going to seniors' residences, Ottawa community housing, and outside of food banks, where we give out two supplementary meals on top of their three-day supply. People don't realize when you go to a food bank, you often just get a 3 to 4 day supply of food for the month and that. So those food trucks have an impact, and right now we can't see pulling it away. We have 247 beds at the Ottawa Mission where people sleep every night, and we have 16 to 20 in our waiting area in plastic chairs and curled up on the floor. When the winter months come, it'll be 40 to 50, hoping something opens up in the next few days. It's just not acceptable. We were really hoping affordable housing and other supports would have come in by now, that people would have been moved on. Mr. Hoban, the architect, knows the projects that they've worked on to make a difference in this community. 40 to 50 unit buildings once a year are just not going to do it. We've seen, we housed 270 people last year. We moved them out of the shelter system, 270 people, by working with landlords. We have a veterans case manager who works with veterans to make sure they're aware of their benefits to enter, to get them admitted into an addictions program if that's what they need, and to get them properly housed with the proper supports they realize. We have a clinic where we do patient visits, a healthcare clinic. We work in cooperation with Ottawa Inner City Health. We have a dental clinic founded by Dr. Tom Harrell, a Christian missionary who decided rather than going up northern Canada and Africa, he'd do something at home. And we actually have a dental clinic for the homeless. And recently you've seen the food services training program, and now we've launched a maintenance services training program where we're teaching people to get a trade, whether culinary or superintendent, and move them into jobs. And those have been very, very successful. If you want to end homelessness, give people hope and dignity, give them a chance at a career. They're likely not to relapse when they come out of an addictions program, and they're likely to have pride and now the ability to pay for rent and buy their groceries. What a great idea that it was one of our supporters who came up with this maintenance services training program. Graduate people into superintendent jobs. Guess what? Superintendents don't have to pay rent. I've been one when I was a driver for the food bank. That's how you make ends meet. It's great that we have opportunities like that. So it's a daunting task for all of us, but all of us who continue to come through to pick up and make things go. In Malachi 3:10, it says, and many are familiar with this scripture, I love this one, it's one that guides me and gives me faith at all times to move forward our team with some of these new projects. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So you may have seen in the news the postal strike hit just as we began our campaign to start the Thanksgiving Monday dinner. that is hugely supported by those placemats, that campaign we do. We buy turkeys. So we went to the media. They were good to us. We put out the word. And 300 turkeys came in, frozen turkeys, over the next 2 weeks. Store managers from Loblaws getting together in a competition against each other to see who could raise the most turkeys to come and drop them off. And we put on that Thanksgiving meal. Members of this congregation coming up to me when I was here a few weeks ago and today and giving me their checks in support of donation because they're aware things aren't coming in the mail. I don't know about you, I'm still not getting my mail at home. So let's hope it starts soon. So we have that faith in everything we do, in the programs we run, whether in from the cold or at the Ottawa Mission or from my days back at the food bank, that God will provide, God will come through. I do trust in God with all my heart. It's one that guided me through my early years when I turned my life around years ago, that I did not lean upon my own understanding. I just figured God has a plan and we'll figure it out. And often we see that happen. God had a plan today. Richard, I came in and said I couldn't get to the food bank or to the Ottawa Mission. I wanted to print up what I was going to say and I hate having to do this. And I found Richard and he came through for me and we got a printed version of what I was saying. Probably too long. You got a good note from Keith, that a reminder about today, Canadian Food Grains Bank. Let's make sure we support that. I will when I leave here today. Luke 6 and 38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I believe that wholeheartedly in everything I do, and I know most of you here do as well. So keep up the good work, and God bless. Thank you.